Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The youth vote in Ohio, that is voters ages 18 to 29, increased by 16 percentage points between the 2014 and the 2018 midterm elections. But young voters are less likely to cast a ballot than their baby boomer counterparts anyway. Just 3 in 10 young voters participated in the 2018 cycle. The Office of the Ohio Secretary of State is sending voter registration outreach cards to more than 168,000 unregistered Ohioans, including 120,000 residents under the age of 21. Jen Tolentino is Vice President of Impact and Innovation at Rock the Vote. That's a nonpartisan organization that works to engage youth in politics. She joins us by Skype. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk.
Rock the Vote has been around since the 1990s. What have you learned along the way as an organization about getting young people to the ballot box?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing that we've learned is young voters or new voters, they don't necessarily understand how the process works. And certainly over the past 30 years, how you engage young voters has certainly changed. So back in the 90s, one of the main ways you would reach young people was through MTV. I think a lot of people are familiar with that really big partnership we had back in the 90s with them. And now we've sort of pivoted. We have online. The ways that you reach and motivate young voters has certainly changed as well. So we do partnerships with different companies like Twitter and Tinder and HBO, broader than just MTV. But the core of the fact that young people don't necessarily understand the process and they need to be walked through, how do you get registered to vote? What is going to be on your ballot, and understanding the importance of it, that core aspect of education hasn't changed.
Isn't this just something you learn in a civics class?
It's a really good question, and it certainly varies. I know I definitely didn't really realize that I needed to register to vote when I was in high school, and across the country, we're seeing a disinvestment in civic education, which is one of the reasons Rock the Vote is participating in something that we're launching called Democracy Class, which is a 60 to 90 minute curriculum that teaches young people the importance and history of voting rights, and then at the end gets them registered or pre-registered depending on their state.
You know, I was reading something that said that, you know, it's interesting that what young people respond to when it comes to the issue of voting and political participation isn't necessarily social media. They tend to respond to mail. What do you make of that?
That's interesting. I haven't necessarily seen that in the same way, especially considering young people move at really high rates.
Yeah.
So I think while it's important, I would never say that you should not do one outreach method over the other. I think what you really need is a combined effort. Mm. So while you're working with social media, where they are, trying to change the culture around voting, thinking about it not as just politics, but how do you build political power? How do you actually use your vote to impact the things you care about in your community, in your state, across the country? And as you start thinking about that, if you also receive a piece of mail, if you also have a friend that is registered to vote that then encourages you to do so as well, I think we need to do a lot of different methods to reach young people to help them understand and walk them through the process.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the youth vote today. It did increase in Ohio by about 16% and increased a lot more in some other states like Wisconsin as well. But the increase is on top of very low turnout in general. So you don't want to get too excited about it. My guest right now, Jen Tolentino, she's Vice President of Impact and Innovation at Rock the Vote. That's a nonpartisan organization that works to engage youth in politics. We'd like to hear from young voters or people, young residents of Ohio, and what gets you out to the ballot box, or why you think you haven't participated, and what you think the magic sauce is when it comes to that. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I'm also interested in this civics education piece of it and why there is a decrease emphasis on that in schools. If there's teachers out there that haven't started class yet, give us a call, 614-292-8513. How, Jen Tolentino, has youth turnout at the polls ebbed and flowed over the last 3 decades? What do we know about what moves them to vote? Is it issues? Is it people?
Certainly. It's one of the both, I would say. I think one of the things that drives young people and voters in general is how can I use this opportunity to participate in democracy to shape the direction of my community and my country? a lot of ways that that is driven is by inspiring candidates. So a candidate that is speaking to the issues that young people care about will then result in that individual getting more of the youth vote. So what we're looking at is really, are there candidates at both the national level and the local level really addressing the issues that young people care about? How are they connecting them to the change they want to see? And that is what's going to inspire them to actually make a difference. And it's not just necessarily having an inspiring candidate, but it can also be in reaction to. So really trying to harness that passion that we see in young people about change and wanting to make a difference. And how do you bring that together and make that into political change?
Over the years, we've heard from a lot of people, and they tend to be younger people, who voted for Bernie Sanders in the primary. He did not get it. It was very controversial at the time. Hillary Clinton did it instead, and they just didn't show up. They decided to protest by not voting in the general election. Is there a pattern there that we know about?
Well, it's interesting that you said that, because in 2016, the youth vote actually was the only demographic that actually increased
it
its
did.
Turnout in 2016. However, they did not turn out for Democrats. They went 7% independent. And so I would take that as young people are, again, they will show up, but you have to have candidates that are speaking to the issues that they care about.
The Ohio Secretary of State, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, it's mailing registration outreach cards to more than 168,000 eligible but unregistered Ohioans, including, most of them, 120,000, fall into that youth category. They're under 21. What about mail campaigns and young people? You're saying that they move so many times that it's not as effective as it might be. If the mail reached them, fine, but if they're not there to get it, doesn't matter.
So first, I would say I'm really excited that the Ohio Secretary of State is participating in ERIC, which is a interstate mechanism for making sure that the voter rolls are secure and efficient and clean. So that's really exciting. And again, as I mentioned, I think sending out pieces of mail mm-hmm. is important, can be effective, but it certainly can't be the only method that we're using to make sure that young people across the state are registered, aware, and registered at their right address. So the challenge there is, I believe, a lot of the data is coming from the DMV. Young people move really often. You don't always update your driver's license when you move. You also don't always update your voter registration. So kind of getting that in the general education of every single time you move, even if you move across the street, your political boundaries might have changed. You might be in a different city council jurisdiction. And so you still need to re-register to vote to make sure, one, that you're always on the rolls and always able to participate, and two, that you get the right ballot. So I think it's, again, part of one method that we want to use to reach out to these young people, but it's not going to get us all the way.
You know, voter turnout, all things being equal, is pretty pathetic in the United States anyway. What do we know about the lack of exposure to voting that young people have nowadays? Their parents often aren't voting. They don't even do voting in schools anymore where I live because they don't want to disturb the school day. I always thought that was a really important part of my school day when I was a kid and saw adults coming in to vote. Do younger people just get exposed to the act of it? Because it's not complicated. It's pretty prosaic. And, the fact that they're concerned about not doing it right is, you know, anyone who's done it could tell you anyone can do it.
Well, so it does go speak to an issue where voting is different in a lot of different states. Mm-hmm. And even within a state, you might have different methods. So, for example, there are states where everybody automatically gets mailed a ballot if you're registered to vote, and you can complete it and vote at home, or you can drop it off in a drop box, or you can go and you can vote at a vote center. There are states where you only are able to vote on election day. So if for some reason you can't make it out on Tuesday, you can't get off work, you're going to be traveling, you have to request an absentee ballot, and that's the only way you're able to participate. Or there are states that have a very large early voting option where you could go that Saturday and vote. So it certainly varies in terms of access. And then the machines that you're voting on or the paper ballots you're participating on. I think if you really consider being a young person, there's so much change happening. Mm. What you're expected to do. And there is certainly a weight of you are participating in our democracy. You might not feel fully informed, especially when you get lower down ballot. In certain states, you're eligible to vote for judges where finding information on who these candidates are and why you should be participating in that election feels very daunting. And so I would say there's a lot of expectation and weight that I think younger people place on themselves that trying to overcome those hurdles, give them the informed information about who are these candidates, do they align with your issues one way or the other, is really important.
So when it comes to Rock the Vote, are you getting involved in nurturing this voting habit before they're old enough to vote, or are you waiting and going after, you know, eligible voters?
Sure. So one of the things that Democracy Class is meant to kind of fill in that gap in high schools is what is the importance and history of voting? So especially when you consider the progression of when, you know, people got the right to vote in our democracy were primarily white landed men. And then women got the right to vote. And I think we were just celebrating the 19th Amendment passing very recently, 50 or 100 years. And so thinking about the progression of when different demographics in our country have actually gotten access to the right to vote, and that it has not always just been a thing that was given, really speaks to the importance of participation for young people, which they're not necessarily learning. And so that goes, we typically teach it in junior, senior year, but it really depends on what the high school, the school district, the teacher is interested in doing. So trying to bridge that gap of when you are ready to participate, you already understand the importance of it.
You know,
the I was just going to say the other way that we're trying to sort of think about reaching young people outside of high schools as well is how do you shift the culture around voting? So that is where we're creating content similar to what we did in the 90s with MTV, but more targeted on issues and using authentic influencers to talk about why is their vote important to them? What are the issues they care about? And speaking to their audiences in a meaningful way to shift the culture around politics, not as just this really negative thing that people are hearing about, but something that is empowering, something that is going to give them an opportunity to really participate and shape the conversation.
In the states with options, as you described before, whether it's early voting or paper or, you know, voting by mail, you know, in addition to same day voting and that kind of a thing, does it tend to show higher turnout among younger voters?
It does. Yeah. States that have more accessible options for individuals to cast a ballot. I know Minnesota is the highest turnout across the country and has been for the past several election cycles. Ohio is, I believe, second or third. They also have that same model. So when you think about making it easier for people to participate in general, especially young voters, they are more able to cast a ballot. And I do think that there is likely a correlation between states that make it easier to participate and the culture around voting. I can't speak to exactly what that difference necessarily is, but I think facilitating more opportunities for people to participate in our democracy is reflected in the turnout that we see.
I remember when Rock the Vote first came out, it seemed very new and kind of, I guess, trendy or whatever. But now you're practically old school. I mean, everybody's heard about Rock the Vote now. There's a couple generations have come and, you know, come and gone. In general, I mean, you know, you think that it's going to, in 30 years, something would have changed, but not so much.
So we've certainly evolved and changed over the past 30 years. I think what we were doing, to your point earlier, in the 1990s, we were very focused on driving voter registrations through mail because that was the way that you were able to actually participate. You could register voters by mail really easily. Now in 2019, you're able to register to vote online and young people are accessing information online. The way that they learn about things is not just through a television set that they're all watching the same channel, which happens to be MTV. So while our core values of how do we drive education and drive awareness and get young people registered and out to vote is the same, the methods of how we reach young voters and how we build campaigns to galvanize them and get them inspired is certainly different. We are using different influencers, many of which that I have to Google before I even understand who they are, because the what youth and what young people are listening to is very right. different from me. And so just making sure that we're really constantly using the right methods and people is important.
It's a moving target. In other words, there's a new batch born every year, and it's what's going to influence them or what's going to inspire them changes with that. That my guest is Jen Tolentino. She's Vice President of Impact and Innovation at Rock the Vote. That's a nonpartisan organization that works to engage youth in politics. Coming up, we're going to expand our conversation to the League of Women Voters of Ohio and also to a researcher from American University who studies these things. So stay with us, and I'd like to hear from young voters or young would-be voters about why or why not do you vote. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. The 2018 midterm election saw an increase in the youth vote. Last week, presidential hopeful Bernie Sanders, in a conversation with rapper Cardi B, made a plea to young voting age Americans for more.
A lot of people moan and groan, right? They don't like Donald Trump. They don't like the low wages. They don't like spending 50% of their income in housing. They don't like student debt. They don't like the fact they can't go to college. But all of that moaning and groaning and complaining doesn't mean anything unless we change the system, okay? Young people have got to get involved in the political process. Register to vote. It is not hard. It takes you 5 minutes. Register to vote.
Although voter turnout rates for youth 18 to 19 boomed to 22% in the midterm, Sanders knows, like anyone else seeking the highest office in the land, that more is better. So with us by Skype, Vice President of Impact and Innovation at Rock the Vote, Jen Tolentino. Jen Miller is Executive Director at League of Women Voters of Ohio. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ann.
Jan Leakley is a professor in the Department of Government at American University. She studies voter turnout and political participation. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ann.
Jan Leakley, from your experience, what keeps young voters from exercising their right to vote?
I think there's a lot of the same factors that keep other individuals from voting. They don't have that much information about elections. They have busy lives where they're doing a lot of things, and the incentives for voting sometimes are not especially clear. So you put all of those things together and they decide that it's just not worth the time.
What might an incentive be for voting?
Well, I think one of those incentives is what one of the other Jens just mentioned, thinking about issues and what Bernie was saying of if you're unhappy about something like college debt or war or civil rights, then do something about it. And one of the things you can do is vote. And I think the incentive has to be if you play the game, if you participate, you know, the outcomes differ, right? And we could have different policies and their lives could be materially different.
When we talk about participating, we're not ultimately necessarily just talking about voting, are we, Jen Miller? There's more to it than that. I mean, first of all, you do have to be paying attention to what's going on out there.
Absolutely. So we have just done focus groups with young Central Ohioans of every income, race, gender identity. And, you know, one of the first things, as everyone is saying here, is that voting is confusing. Even in Ohio, it's confusing. The ideas, the IDs that you need, the registration deadlines, even requesting an absentee ballot is confusing. You do it online, but you get a piece of mail that you have to mail back in. So that's certainly confusing. But we want to go well beyond that, right? Ohio has youth at the booth for 17-year-olds can actually work as poll workers. They can take the day off school. They can get paid. We'd like to see that expanded. You know, we have mentorship programs, and I think a lot of groups have mentorship programs, but we want to see young people involved in advocacy. We want to help them see that their government can and does work for them, and that it starts with voting. It starts with voter registration, but that's not the end of it. One of the things we really see is this generational conflict, and Pew and Harvard have both done some studies on this that show that a lot of young people don't feel as though older generations care about them, and especially baby boomers. So I think that goes back to the candidates piece, but it also goes back to making sure that we are connecting to the values that matter to them. So younger generations, especially Gen Z, is far more racially diverse. They're more gender fluid, and they're values driven. They care about environment and climate change. They care about gun safety, human rights. And so we are seeing an increase in that interest. And one stat, just Ohio specific, in 2014, 18 to 29-year-olds, only 11.6% of eligible 18 to 29-year-olds showed up in 2014. But in 2018, that was 27%. Almost 28%.
So that was that 16% increase,
right.
But 16% of what is the problem?
Right.
You know, Jan Leakley, it's kind of interesting when I hear Jen Miller describe the generational differences. It sounds an awful lot like it's 1969 and not 2019. Jen Leakley?
I mean, yes, the generational differences.
Yeah, the people that appear to be in power, the baby boomers now, were the ones complaining back in 1969 that the powerful, you know, that the group in power didn't understand what they wanted.
Absolutely. For all of our focus on youth turnout and youth participation and concerns about the how few turnout in both presidential and midterm elections, you know, for all of the importance of those questions, this is nothing new. Right. And so youth have always been less likely than older adults to vote. And this is just systematic back through 1972 before. And why is that? Well, you need to, you know, as you age, issues become more concrete to you. You have more general information. You become tied to the community in some way. And so it is a big shift to get young people ready to vote at 18 or 20. They need that support for information and mobilization. And oftentimes it doesn't come in school curriculum, for example. Some does, depending on the location, but having groups out there mobilizing young people specifically is especially important, because generally candidates don't pay attention to youth because they're unreliable voters. Mm-hmm. So candidates focus on people who have voted previously. That's an efficient use of their campaigns, which is why the mobilization organizations, Rock the Vote and other organizations devoted to youth, are so important, because you're trying to get them to step into the game, to take that first action. And then you can build that habit or expectation. And over the life cycle, then a much larger proportion of older individuals vote.
Jen Miller?
Yeah, I was just going to mention another stat from Pew that I think is interesting. Youth who have experienced some sort of civics education are 40% more likely to show up to the polls once they turn 18. And so I do think Rock the Vote and the League of Women Voters are critical pieces of this. And anyone who's interested should join those nonpartisan get out the vote efforts. So at the League, most of our efforts are volunteer. We have, for example, Voter Girl with the Girl Scouts. We go into civics. We teach civics and go into high schools across the state, in quite a few in Central Ohio, to get folks registered and to help them understand how important it is. Of course, we also do registration at community colleges, rides to the polls. When we did our focus group, it was interesting. One of the things that it did not matter what their background was, they said that they didn't feel as though they had information that would really help them understand the candidates. And so in any study you see academically about this age of voters, they feel that lack of information. And so things like vote411.org, which is our voter's guide, which started about 100 years ago, and Judicial Votes Count, which I think goes to Jen from Rock the Vote's point, is not just those candidates who are on the ballot for judge races, but also how the judicial process works and why that matters. Those are tools that we should be making sure young people know about.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the youth vote today. That was Jen Miller, Executive Director at League of Women Voters of Ohio. Also with us, Jan Leakley. She is an American University professor in the Department of Government. She studies voter turnout and political participation. And by Skype, Jen Tolentino. She's Vice President of Impact and Innovation at Rock the Boat, a nonpartisan organization that works to engage youth in politics. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Jen Tolentino, what about, you know, we talk about civics in schools, but what about the civics of watching your parents vote? Is there any evidence that if your parents voted, you're more likely to vote?
Yeah, certainly. I don't have at the top of my brain the stats around how much more likely you are to vote if your parents were voters, but I certainly think that there is circumstantial evidence that you can see where if there is a culture in your family, in your community, of you went to vote with your parents at your school, or at your school you saw voters coming in, I think that speaks to that aspect of education around voting and the importance of voting, how to vote, seeing it performed for you and participating in that way as a young person. It makes a difference. It doesn't make it intimidating when you might go to cast the ballot for the first time because you've seen your parents do it. Mm-hmm. It might be something that you've had a conversation with. And so you're already engaging in politics in a way that you understand how to kind of dissect political discourse around disagreements or how people are having those conversations about politics. And it doesn't feel so intimidating. I think that's really important. And the other thing to think about, too, is it can go both ways, where if you have young people that are becoming more inspired and engaged and understanding how politics and the electoral process actually works, they can certainly become advocates for their friends and family that are non-voters as well and bring them into the fold, because we've certainly seen a lot of impact around peer-to-peer organizing and relational organizing, where the biggest way that you can make an impact on whether or not somebody is going to vote is by having somebody that they're familiar with encourage them to do so.
Yeah. Jen Miller?
Yeah, I was just we did our pilot focus groups and we are hoping to do more of those. But that was another through line, that it didn't matter income, it didn't matter race or gender identity. Those young people who had someone in their life that instilled the importance of voting, took them voting. Maybe they went out to eat afterwards if they did early voting
as
a family.
Out of a special occasion.
Yeah. That really matters for a couple reasons. One, it does demonstrate the how, both the mechanics as well as how you decide who you're going to vote for or what you're going to vote for. And then finally, it instills how much it matters and makes it just a part of your normal operations, that this is something you do. And so I think that's really important. That does mean that we need these programs that get into schools, that work with the Girl Scouts, that do those different things, because that's a way of disrupting a situation if they're not otherwise getting engaged in civics in their homes or in their schools. It's a way of making sure that youth understand how important it is and they're not intimidated. The truth is that I heard that over and over again, how confusing and intimidating it is.
Jan Leakley, in your work studying voter turnout, political participation, are there any gender differences that come up?
What we've seen over the past several decades is that women are actually tend to turn out more than men by a slight difference. It's taken us a while to get to have that identified. But I think in terms of gender differences that among youth, for example, that's really dominated by age and the inexperience of age, that more limited experience there or impact there in terms of gender differences.
And
these are kids who need information, or young adults who need information.
Oh, yeah,
and I,
Go ahead.
I wanted to go back to something that you played a line from Bernie Sanders mm-hmm. saying, you know, the whining and the groaning and, you know, just register to vote. It only takes 5 minutes. And I think this is such a misperception, and we really need to correct that. It is not easy or simple to register to vote in many places. And in those places where you can do online registration, there are multiple steps, as was suggested previously. And then registration is only one part of the process. You still need to cast a ballot. Mm-hmm. And the complexity across states and even localities is really not simple. So I think that's an important part of what these groups are doing, is conveying the information of helping young individuals or non-voters, someone with no experience, get over that hurdle.
And apologies for interrupting you. I wanted to talk a little bit about, when we talk about information and feeling like they don't know what the issues are, is there any correlation that we know of between, although they've never been big, there's never been a lot of turnout, but just in general, between news consumption and consumption of what we think of as traditional news outlets, i.e. newspapers and their online counterparts, does that affect any of this? I mean, of course they're not going to be well informed if they're not waking up with a newspaper on the kitchen table every morning.
Jan? Right. I think what's key about that is what we do know and have systematic research on is when individuals, whether young or old, see a difference between candidates on issues, they're more likely to vote. So if voting means making a choice between two candidates, then if they both believe the same things or have the same issue, positions, or priorities, then why waste your time to vote? Hmm. When individuals see that there's a difference in the policies or the positions or the preferences of two candidates, then it seems more worthwhile. And I think this is one of the consequences of the kind of media culture we're in, to the extent that younger people are, I think, somewhat more likely or tend to create their own kind of news bubble mm-hmm. or entertainment bubble. And everyone's doing that, yeah. right? With some of the decline of newspapers and the television, and we're going into cable shows and we're connecting to people who believe like we believe. Well, if you don't know what that other candidate, you know, who of the other party, for example, actually believes, you don't have that comparison to make, and you lose that utility.
We are going to continue our conversation. We're talking about the youth vote in the United States. It was up a little bit in the last midterm elections from the previous midterm election in 2014, but it's still very low. And we have, you just heard from Jan Leakley. She is an American University professor. She studies voter turnout and political participation. Also with us, Jen Miller, executive director at the League of Women Voters of Ohio. And by Skype, Jen Tolentino, vice president of President of Impact and Innovation at Rock the Vote. Questions or comments? What do you think? Are you a young voter? What gets you out to the polls? Maybe you don't vote. Why not? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about youth voter participation. Still with us by Skype, Vice President of Impact and Innovation at Rock the Vote, Jen Tolentino. Also, Executive Director at the League of Women Voters of Ohio, Jen Miller. And American University Professor in the Department of Government. She studies voter turnout and that kind of a thing, Jan Leakley. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Jan Leakley, I wanted to ask you, is something that Jen Tolentino, I think, said earlier from Rock the Vote, and it was about different the culture of voting in different states. Minnesota has the highest turnout. The country, Wisconsin, does very, very well. Ohio does okay. I mean, there's a lot of iterations of turnout in this country. What do we mean by a good, positive voting culture? What does that look like?
Part of what it looks like is we begin with some sense of a duty to vote and an engagement in the political system and to the community. To get individuals to step in. Traditionally, that's been a focus on, and older individuals are more likely to say that, you know, to be a good citizen or a good person, it is my obligation to vote. That is my responsibility. We see a little bit less of that among youth today, and there's a shift in terms of their orientation or values. However, that doesn't mean they are disinterested or disengaged. It's that they have simply less information and experience in the political system. So across states, there's also different notions about what the role of government is and the nature of politics. Is politics something that citizens should have a role in? Some individuals will argue that it's not that important that everyone votes, right? That they may not necessarily believe that that's an important feature of democracy, right? So I think the broader context today has to do with how critical or negative we view government, and elections are a part of that, and the critical and negative views of candidates and politicians certainly make it harder for people to engage in elections, and it's part of that culture.
Let's see, I'm going to turn to Bones in Columbus. Is that your name, Bones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for having my call. And I think she has a great point. I think that there's been a serious lack of a feel of importance in the fact that we have a voice. I think that most of my adult life, my thoughts were, you know, I'm a drop in a bucket and a bucket in the ocean.
Mm.
And I see now that, you know, there are so many people who, you know, I would consider just as small as me making decisions that don't necessarily benefit. So, you know, me and all my young friends, we've kind of got together and banded together and decided that, you know, we have to facilitate that hope. We have to give ourselves that room and that voice, and that the only person that can do that is us. We have to put our ground.
How are you doing that?
Well, we're using social media to, like, just talk to the inner circle and talk to as many people that we can, and we're actually collecting people's addresses and sending them voter registration forms.
Wow.
In the local area. Yeah, it's just anything that we can do. Just having the conversations that are kind of hands-off, where it seems like nobody wants to talk about their political systems anymore because it's scary. It's too, like I said, polarized.
Yeah, everyone gets ticked off. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, people walk into my job all the time with their MAGA hat, and right behind them, you know, they're getting angry because they see it. And, you know, we're only allowed to have our own views. So the only people that are going to be able to make the difference in our future is us, the ones with you.
Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
All right. You have a great day.
You too. Let's see. Jake in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Jake.
Hi. Great program today. A really interesting topic. And I was wondering, I had a question for Jen Miller. She was saying that the youth turnout was up from 11 to, I think, 27%.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if there was a resource for folks like myself. I'm in my mid-30s. Is there a good resource for a reference material to engage younger voters in an attempt to increase that percentage? And if so, could you share where the location is, a website or something? Take my call off the air.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jake. Jen Miller?
Thanks, Jake. I think that's a really important question. And actually, I think it links into Bones about this whole concept of small d democracy,
huh.
You know, person to person. And so I think, of course, Rock the Vote has great materials. The League of Women Voters of Ohio actually employs youth as interns to create a lot of our materials for youth. And so just really engaging with those nonpartisan organizations, I encourage it to be nonpartisan organizations because those are the kinds of materials that you can take into a school. Most schools accept league materials, for example. You can take them into libraries and things like that. But I do think we need to get back to that, that people talking to others about just our democracy and the act of voting and why that matters and how that matters. And there's a lot of volunteer-led organizations like Rock the Vote and the League that are perfect for that.
Thanks a lot for that call. Now I'm turning to Chris and Galena. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi. Great topic. Having been able to work with young people, I know that they tend to move more when it's personal to them.
Yeah.
And so we've talked about the how and the what, but how do Rock the Vote and the League of Women Voters help young people understand and make voting personal? Like, why should I do it?
Yeah, Jen Tolentino, how do you respond?
The key ways that we sort of answer that why should you participate is by leading with the issues that we know young people care about. So, for example, thinking about gun violence prevention. Again, we're nonpartisan, so we're not going to tell young people how to vote, but we'll break down the issue of gun violence prevention and how does that connect to political power? How does your opportunity to vote connect to changes that you might want to see in your community, in your state, in your country? And so by leading with the issues, breaking down how that's connected to all the different levels of government, and you can do that with all of the issues, it takes that very tangible, personal thing that a young person cares about and connects it directly to opportunities to make change at the ballot box.
And then, Jan Leakley, do you think that those, that kind of connection to the issues and how they connect to the people on the ballot, is it that simple? I mean, that people just need to know more about the issues they care about and then about who would represent them.
I think that's a lot of it. No one has targeted youth typically in terms of candidates and political campaigns. And so we wonder why a lot of these issues, we don't see movement, we don't see candidates responding to them. And so just the notion of saying, what issue is important to you? This, yes, there's information out there. You can identify, you know, at every level who might be able to do something or just know what they believe and see if that resonates with you. There's also, though, a social dimension that is important, which was suggested earlier, that it can't just be, I said, the cognitive game, but seeing other people vote. You know, if everyone else in the office is voting, you're probably more likely to vote. People in your neighborhood voting, right? If you have the class project as part of a civic curriculum, you know, where individuals are learning about the political system and talking about it and modeling that behavior, there's a bit of a social persuasion that happens, which is why the personal connections become so important, that it's not just the online activities or the information, but it's making a connection with others in your community or in the whatever groups you're active in or you live your life in, to have that personal connection.
So, Jen Tolentino, is it cool to vote?
That's what we're working to make it. I mean, personally, I think it's very cool. I'm committed. I am always a voter. But I think that's not necessarily the case for a lot of young people. And that's why, again, we sort of work to change the culture, not just by having your friends and family voting, but how do you make voting part of things where you wouldn't see it and make it fun and joyful? So, for example, we've done a partnership a few times with Tinder. So you could have young people that are looking for dates, and then they can also swipe to vote and get registered to vote in-app, get some fun voting facts. And that just sort of takes the idea and concept about voting, makes it more mainstream by its popping up and presented to you in a lot of different places that aren't necessarily inherently political. And it's just part of something that you do. You identify as somebody who registers to vote and is a voter, and it's part of who you are. And that's what we're working really hard to identify opportunities to reshape how young people see voting and how they can identify as voters and make that part of something that's a positive aspect of their identity.
So, Chris and Galena, thanks a lot for that call. We have an email from David who asks if there's voting assistance available for citizens who cannot read or for citizens for which English is a second language. And I'm interested, Jen Miller, in what you say about that. But I'm also interested in any kind of insights you can bring to the idea of being first generation American and how that impacts somebody's enthusiasm for voting.
Yeah. So, first-generation Americans or new Americans who have gotten their citizenship are new voters, too. And so they're often very excited about voting, but they need a lot of the same information that young voters need. In terms of language assistance, there is assistance available, especially that's one of the great things about having machines, is if you have a mobility challenge or a hearing challenge or a reading challenge, as well as if you are someone where English is a second language, you can get more assistance. The other thing, the League partners with a lot of organizations to actually find bilingual individuals to work as poll workers in the precincts where that language is spoken the most. And that's something we piloted last year in Central Ohio, and we hope to see.
How did it work?
You know, we still need to look into that more, but there was definitely an excitement about placing. So you might be a poll worker and you might not even think about the fact that you have some Spanish or maybe you have some sign language. But actually, a lot of times there are polling locations that we could be placing those individuals specifically.
Okay.
So it was a partnership with the Board of Election, with CARE, with many other voting organizations. And I think that's a new frontier. And again, it goes back to everyday Ohioans can actually facilitate a better experience.
A quick call, and then that's about all the time we have. Charlotte in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I belong to the Vietnam generation, and my parents were the greatest generation. You want to get these kids' attention, reinstitute, and make it universal, male and female alike. You got to register for the draft when you hit that 18th birthday.
Well,
that'll get their attention.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point. And I'm wondering, Jan Leakley, going back to that 1969 question, I mean, what about that? I mean, if people felt like they had more of a stake in things, they'd have something more to talk about.
Yes, we actually have some very interesting research on how the draft affected the entire generation. That was caught up in that, if you will, or required to engage, that politicized them and engaged them at higher levels than any other previous time. And I think the challenge is that was such a high visibility and high conflict issue and high stakes issue that it hasn't been replicated or seen in other ways in terms of getting people's attention and having them relate to the political system in a fundamentally different way. And part of that is a reference to how we have a submerged state, that government provides a lot of policies and a lot of services, but a lot of times they are advertised or known as government programs, or there's an embarrassment to be a part of that. And so part of being engaged is being aware of the individual's relationship to the government and its policies. That generation knew their lives could be on the line very easily, and it socialized them into that possibility.
Jan Leakley, she is an American University professor in the Department of Government. She's published papers on voter turnout and political participation. Jan, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Also, Jen Tolentino by Skype, Vice President of Impact and Innovation at Rock the Vote. Jen, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
And Jen Miller, Executive Director at the League of Women Voters of Ohio. Thanks for your time today.
Always a pleasure.
Encourage anybody who wants to know more about these issues to go to Rock the Vote, to go to the League of Women Voters of Ohio and learn more about the policies that affect your vote. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.